إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, as we speak, there is a hostage crisis going on in Bangladesh, in Dhaka, in a restaurant in a place called Gulshan, which is a diplomatic area. A very nice restaurant there. There's several people, all Muslims, who were gathered for iftar. They all have been taken hostage, and ISIS claims responsibility, and that's happening as we speak. So make dua for them. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims everywhere from all kinds of people who are actually the enemies of Islam and Muslims, even though they pretend to be Muslims themselves. And especially for Bangladesh, for Muslim countries, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should protect them and help them, inshallah. The reason I mentioned this is because we are living in a world where we have reached a stage where on a particular day, if you do not have news of this kind, then you feel that, oh, something is strange. How is it that there is no such news today? It has become so common, almost every day. So therefore, the question that comes in the mind of a lot of people, and I sometimes get asked this question also, people say, where is the help of Allah? When will the help of Allah come? Where is the help of Allah? Yeah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, and he said that things became so difficult that even the Nabi among those people at that time, he asked this question, Mata Nasrullah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered this question, inshallah, Nasrullahi Qareeb. Allah said the help of Allah is close. But the key thing to understand here is, who asked this question and to whom was this answer given? Was this question asked by a fasiq and fajir who doesn't even pray the five salawat, who does not follow the sunnah, who doesn't come to the masjid, who eats haram, who earns haram? And did Allah say, Nasrullahi Qareeb, to somebody like that? Or was this question asked by the Nabi of the time? And Allah is saying, the help of Allah is near to whom? So who asked this question and who got this answer? The reason I'm saying this is that whatever knowledge that I have got is, in all my reading, I have never come across a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His help to people who were fasiq and fajr, people who were rebellious, people who were indulging in haram, people who were not doing halal, people who were deceiving others, people who were cheating, who were lying. So this is a pipe dream, it's a figment of the imagination that this help of Allah is going to come and malaika are going to come and help you when you are in a state where none of the things that you are supposed to do, you do. I don't mean you as in, I'm not attacking you personally, but I'm just saying that you, meaning we as the Muslim Ummah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and we know this hadith very well, where he said that this Ummah is like one body. This Ummah is like one body. And so if one part of the body pains, he said, if the head pains, the whole body knows or feels this pain. So think of this whole Ummah in this whole world as one body. So you might say, well, what is happening in Syria now, in Syria? Are those people fasiq and fajr, and are those people bad, and are those people evil, and then why? That's not the issue. The issue is, for example, if you do something bad with your right hand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to draw your attention to that, you will not get a pain in your right hand. You probably will get a fever. So just because you do something with your right hand doesn't mean the pain will come in that particular hand. So if there is something, if there is some corruption in this Ummah, if there is fisq and fujur in this Ummah, no matter where it is going to affect this Ummah somewhere else. It might affect the Ummah in the same place, or it might affect the Ummah somewhere else, but it is the result of what this Ummah is doing as a whole. So it's not a question of saying, what did the people in Palestine do, or what did the people in Iraq, it's not a question of that. It's a question of what I am doing, what you are doing, sitting here in India, sitting here in America, sitting here in the UK, sitting here in Europe, sitting here in Saudi Arabia or wherever, in alhamdulillah, safety and comfort, and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, not only personally, but disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public,
on public platforms. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say? He said, وَلَا نُزِقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah said that we send the small punishment so that they will return to us, so that they will make tawbah, so that they will come back before the big punishment. Because if you die in that state, then there is a bigger problem, much bigger problem than whatever you are facing here. So it's easy to ask, where is the help of Allah? But if you want to know where is the help of Allah, look at yourself and say, am I living a life which deserves the help of Allah? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was the commander-in-chief of the army in the Battle of Qadsiyah. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was the Khalifatul Muslimin at that time, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu writes a letter to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Who is writing to whom? One of the Asharu Mubashara is writing to the other Asharu Mubashara. Both of them are from the 10 people who are promised Jannah. What does he write? He says, advise your people not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to commit sins. Majority of that lashkar, majority of that army is Sahaba. He said, advise your people not to commit sins. Because a sin weakens the human being much more than anything else. And he says, Allah does not give us victory on the basis of our strength and our material possessions and our material wealth and resources and weapons. He said, Allah gives us victory based on our amal. If our amal are not better than the people we are facing, then Allah will give victory to the one who has more strength and more weapons, which is always the opposite party. This is the advice of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu as the commander-in-chief of the army facing the Persians at the Battle of Qadsiyah. So what is a major sin? Telling a lie is a major sin. Doing ghibah is a major sin. All of these are kabair. Leaving a fard salah. Leaving a fard salah is not just a major sin. If you leave it deliberately without any concern for it, and you miss it, then the a'imma have made fatwa to say that you are exit of Islam. Forget about major sin. You are no longer a Muslim. If you die in that state, then you die as a person who was out of Islam. Taking a bribe is a major sin. Giving a bribe is a major sin. So you might feel, oh, I'm not fornicating, I'm not drinking alcohol, I'm not eating pork. Sure, you're not doing all that, but you're doing this. That is also a sin. This is also a sin. Gambling is a sin. Putting money on horses doesn't make it less of a sin. Right? Seriously, ask yourself. I mean, these are the realities that we are living with. So where is the help of Allah? The help of Allah is on the heavens. The junood of samawati wal ard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is malik of that. He is the owner of the armies of the heavens and the earth, and the armies of the heavens and the earth are on the heavens and the earth. Because they don't come to help people who stand in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hakam. Having said that, also understand one thing, which is that there is no need to lose heart. There is no need to feel depressed. Because let me ask you this question. Sure, there is a major global calamity happening in Syria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the victims of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy those who are creating that situation. But if I asked you a question, I said that, can you think of a situation where here is Europe? Europe is not Christian. Please understand this. Europe is by and large atheist. Christianity is way on the back foot. So here I'm saying to you that here is this Europe, which is practically atheist, who are literally, it's a very big generalization I'm making, doesn't apply to all Europeans, but definitely applies to a lot of the people in the leadership, are anti-Islam, they are enemies of Islam, What is the chance of the Muslim population of Europe increasing overnight by 1 million people? You would say you are a fool. I mean, how can 1 million people, 1 million Muslims get into Europe? They will not even think of giving you a visa. Apply for a visa, throw you out. But what's the situation today? There are 1 million Muslims in Europe. How? They walked across the border. All the armies of Europe could not stop them. All the foreign passport regulation, whatnot, could not stop them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to happen. So they walked across the border. And I know several European friends of mine who are working in those refugee camps, who are helping them, who are being very nice to those people. Sure, there are instances of Islamophobia and people being attacked. But what is the, by and large, the overall situation of those people? European countries have welcomed them. European countries have given them citizenship. European countries are paying for their welfare. European countries give, fast forward 10 years, fast forward 50 years. You will have European citizens who are born and bred Muslim, second generation, third generation, out of the same group of Syrians who went into Europe. This is not Nasrullah. This is not the help of Allah. So no need to feel depressed. But if you want the help of Allah, we have to do something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does some things on his own. What Allah wants to do, Allah does. People have forgotten the Bosnian crisis. People have forgotten what happened in Bosnia and Herzegovina and Kosovo. Thousands of people were slaughtered. They were killed like chickens. But because they are Muslims, everybody forgot them. But if you look at those people, and if you see what their lives were before, I met some of them in America when I used to live there. We used to go to the, many of them came to America as refugees. So we used to go to the refugee camps to talk to them and do some relief work and so on. It was a strange thing. You go to a camp, they're only women. In one camp, we went to about 300 women. So where are the men? So they were all killed. They were all taken away and slaughtered. They were all killed. Few small kids. They were left. All men of maybe 18 years, 16 years up, killed. So I asked them, I remember we had this conversation, we asked them, how was life like and so on and so on. They said there was no difference between us and the Serbs. No difference. He said, we married their people, they married our people, we drank all alcohol, we ate pork, we didn't pray, nothing. We just had the names, we had Mehmet and this and that and, somebody's name Muhammad, somebody's name something else. We just had the names, nothing, zero of Islam. So I said, it's a terrible thing that happened. And this lady, very wise woman, she tells me, she says, Sheikh, it's true, we lost our people and so on. So obviously, we are happy, we are very sad. But she said, if we had lived a normal life and died a normal death, we would have gone to Jahannam. Because we would have died without Islam. He said, but we died with the name Muhammad and somebody killed us. So inshallah, we are in Jannah. Eh? Imagine, she lost her own family and she's telling me this. She says, the name was there. And if you ask me, who are you? You say, I'm Muslim. What do you know about Islam? Nothing, but I'm Muslim. And he says, somebody killed me and I died with that. Inshallah, I'm in Jannah. We ask Allah to give all of them Shahada, Inshallah, and Jannah, Inshallah. This is not Nasrullah. The Nasr of Allah, the help of Allah comes in many different ways. Many different ways. So do not lose heart, but also understand that it is essential for us to make tawbah, it is essential for us to correct our lives, it is essential for us to get out of whatever haram we are doing. And as I told you, haram does not have to be some major catastrophic thing, small things. Stop telling lies. What is a lie which we always do and we make a joke out of it? Arab time, Indian time, Muslim time. You tell somebody I will come at 9 o'clock, no sign of you. This is a lie. Because you told someone you're coming at 9 o'clock. Why are you? 9 is a number. Time is a number. If you cannot come at 9 o'clock, at least have the courtesy to phone and say, I'm sorry, I was supposed to come. This is what happened. I'll come at a later time or whatnot. Nothing. You just disappear. Are you waiting for the guy? Where is he? No sign. This is a lie. So, let us be very clear. Alhamdulillah, this is the time to introspect. Let us introspect. And let us make sure that we correct our lives. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu bi adil khair. Whatever comes from Allah is khair. Even though we may not see it as khair, but from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His time space continuum, it is khair. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. We ask Allah to save us from all kinds of tests, because we don't want the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Him to save us from the tests. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help and relieve the suffering of all those who are suffering. And we make the effort and we ask Allah to use us in helping them to be freed from the suffering that they are under. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to punish the perpetrators of this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for His jannah and protection from His nar. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.